Hello, and welcome to Minding Kingston's podcast, where we talk about mental health with people who live or work in the Kingston area. I'm Vicky Bourne, the charity's counselling and wellbeing manager. In this edition,
we think about one in five of our calls are from callers who are in some way impacted or affected by the pandemic.
Mona Sahar is director of the Kingston branch of the Samaritans, the charity that offers listening and support to people and communities in times of need. They're always busy, but amid lockdowns and the pandemic, more so than ever.
I often say that it's a bit like walking alongside someone for a moment in time. You're there, you're company, you're listening and asking questions and seeking to understand. And that's primarily what the experience feels like, hopefully, for most of our callers.
Mona has been heading up the Kingston Samaritans branch during this particularly challenging time. She started by telling me more about the help they offer.
So yes, Kingston Samaritans is the local branch of Samaritans, and we are in the centre of Kingston, very close to Kingston College and that paper aeroplane roundabout. And there are about 140, sometimes more, volunteers who are part of the branch. And primarily at the moment, we provide the listening service that people might well know. The free phone number is 116123, and we also respond to emails. And we're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year to listen and offer emotional support. My role is as branch director, so I lead alongside a leadership team the branch, so keeping the building, the volunteers and the service going. And that's what we do. We've been in Kingston for over 50 years now, but only recently moved to our location in Kingston a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's right, because in normal times, or in pre-pandemic times, perhaps I should call it, you were actually receiving visitors there as well, weren't you? People could call in or drop in. I often used to suggest that people might like to go along myself.
In normal times, unfortunately, we've had to put that aspect of our service on pause at the moment. People would come face-to-face without appointment to be able to talk to someone every day between 7:30 in the morning and 9:30 at night. Unfortunately, at the moment, that's on pause, but we are available for anyone who calls us on that phone number or by email, and the service continues.
Absolutely. And as I think we've all found out, again, during these particular times, the telephone as a medium is so incredibly powerful. And I think it's something that maybe a lot of us have lost, you know, as we've all moved on to texts and emails and WhatsApps and everything. But going back to the phone has been a real source, a real eye opener for me, and I'm sure a lot of other people, how much can be communicated.
Yes.
And I was wondering, and I'm sure I know the answer to this, but has there been a particular change in calls since the beginning of the pandemic and lockdown?
I mean, we continue to be a very busy service. I think that our research, you know, when we've been talking to our volunteers across the country about the nature of the calls they're taking, and we have seen a real aspect of our calls that are to do with coronavirus. I think at the moment we think about one in five of our calls are from callers who are in some way impacted or affected by the pandemic. And I'd say there's been a bit of a shift. From the beginning, it was much more about the virus and perhaps aspects of the coronavirus illness itself. And very much now it's shifted to discussions of the impact of some of the restrictions and the impact of the lockdown on people.
Yep. And obviously in your answer there, you know, you're implying this, but just to make it very clear to some of our listeners that you certainly do not have to be suicidal to call the Samaritans, do you? The calls can be about really anything you want that's affecting your well-being or mental health. And, you know, it's just important to pick up the phone. And if you really want to have a conversation with somebody, they're always there.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's a really good point, Vicky. I often find that sometimes for some people, they have an association that you have to be suicidal to call us. But we're very much there for anyone who's experiencing feelings of distress. And that can mean all sorts of things for individuals or manners of concern. But we're equally very happy to speak to people who are experiencing suicidal feelings.
So on that note, can you take us through what people might expect if they want to call the Samaritans and might feel really nervous about doing so?
I definitely think that when you pick up the phone and you try that number, if you don't know what you're going to encounter and you're already in distress, it can be a bit you know, what might I encounter? So you'll encounter a volunteer. We're as varied as the public, and you know, you might get someone like me, and we generally greet you with Samaritans, can I help you? And then the primary function of that call is to offer you emotional support, to listen, to understand what's going on for you, how you're feeling things, and to be of support. I often say that it's a bit like walking alongside someone for a moment in time. You're there, your company, you're listening and asking questions and seeking to understand. And that's primarily what the experience feels like, hopefully, for most of our callers.
Yes, that's a lovely description. And I think that would really, really helpful for anybody that might want to pick up the phone but feels really tentative and maybe a little fearful about doing so. So do you have any particular suggestions that might help people who are feeling kind of low and as if they just can't take that step to call and ask for help?
Actually, there's a fair amount of advice available online on lots of places, you know, Mind, ourselves, lots of our websites have lots of tips and self-care tips. I think we really encourage people to try and find someone to connect to, try to find someone to talk to. And sometimes that might be someone you already have in your life, but sometimes it might be very beneficial to speak to someone such as ourselves who are completely removed. And in fact, you know, yesterday we were part of a campaign that I know Mind were very kindly supporting as well, called Broom Monday, which was all about just reaching out. And exactly as you said, Vicky, at the beginning, having a phone call, having a chat with someone.
So tell us a bit about Broom Monday, because of course that I nearly made the slip there, and it used to be known as Blue Monday. It was known, I think it was a holiday company ad, wasn't it, to try and get people to book up holidays on what was could have been seen as one of the most depressing days of the year, January after Christmas, all a bit grey out there. But the Samaritans have very cleverly taken it on board and rephrased it, rejigged it, and given it so much more of a better, more positive name.
Yeah, exactly as you said. I think we tried to turn it on its head. So, you know, by calling it Brew Monday, tapping into that lovely idea of having a hot drink with people that we often have, be it tea, coffee, whatever floats your boat.
What's in a cuppa? Tea? Coffee? Whatever your choice of drink, take the chance to connect with someone you care about this winter. Because it's more important than ever that we take time out for a cuppa and a chat.
The idea is that more than ever, perhaps this year more than ever, the importance of connecting. So encouraging people to take a moment to connect with people virtually, or, as we said, on a landline call and having a conversation. And as a branch, we really want to encourage people to try and take the time out to connect with people this time, at this point in the winter. It can be a very challenging time of year. And let people know that there's always support if they need to. And coming forward, you know, on our Twitter feed, our website, there'll be more information about some of the initiatives we will be doing as a branch. But for now, definitely encourage people, as you said, as we're doing actually, have a phone call.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just Brew Monday wasn't just yesterday. It's an ongoing campaign then.
Exactly. And I think that's, you know, in a way, it's not so much the Monday or the date. It's just that concept. And definitely throughout these sort of winter, spring months, we're really very much encouraging people. It doesn't matter what day, what time, you know, reach out to someone that you feel you could connect with and have a conversation.
Because, of course, although we can't see people face to face, there are many new and, well, relatively new and wonderful ways of keeping in touch with people, which I think have been such an absolute bonus to people during these times, haven't they? More inventive ways seem to be happening all the time, the ways of sharing things. So a virtual cup of tea is just a very easy thing to do now. So how can the Samaritans, how can someone support the Samaritans in particular through Brew Monday? Because I understand it's hopefully going to be a bit of a fundraising initiative as well. Is that right?
Yes, I mean, it can be. Definitely across the country, some people are choosing to do it that way. I think for us in Kingston, we're very much trying to raise awareness about the need to connect. And there's lots of information on our Twitter feed and our website if people want to support us. We are really, really lucky. We've had lots of generous support locally from Kingston residents and the community. And I know that's so important to my volunteers who are working hard around the clock.
So your volunteers, I imagine, are a very mixed bag of people who come from all different walks of life. And has it been easy for them to kind of keep up that whole initiative and everything going during lockdown.
Yes, I just realised I was nodding at you and realising people can't see the nod. Yes, they are they're a very diverse group of volunteers. I mean, I think that's part of the joy of being a Samaritan, actually. You encounter people from so many different walks and sets of experiences. And I think, as a branch director, I'm really, really proud of the volunteers here in Kingston because they've really rallied round to the challenge of keeping the branch shifts going and maintaining that telephone service in what has been very challenging times. So yes, and I think we've, like so many organisations, we've had to find creative and appropriate ways of staying connected, of running things, maintaining the service. And in that sense, we're like all the other organisations in Kingston who have had to really rally round and find ways to make the service work.
Absolutely, hit the ground running, I'm sure, particularly in your case, you're more important than ever before. So for someone who might be thinking about becoming a volunteer, I mean, I've certainly done it myself in the past. I'm going back a good more years than I care to remember or admit on this podcast. But so I know a little bit about the commitment that's needed. But perhaps you could say something about that too.
The best thing I would suggest, particularly in these coronavirus times, is if you go to our website, you can just Google Samaritans or Kingston Samaritans. There's lots of information there. And what's quite useful is there's a whole sort of set of statements and questions for you to think through to see if this might be something that you're interested in. We find some people are interested in volunteering with us as listening volunteers, and a number of people reach out and want to support us by fundraising or in other ways.
So there's a whole wealth of different ways you can get involved. Yes, and of course, so many people are finding different things to become involved with now and finding that that's a very positive way of getting them through as well, isn't it? So volunteering, I think, has really come into its own. So you don't just get people ringing in and asking and talking about themselves. You may well get people ringing up and talking about their concerns and worries about others that are close to them. How would you advise people to support someone who's really struggling during these very difficult times, or generally?
I think it's one of those things where, if I could say one thing, I'd encourage people to try and worry less about whether you say it right or start it right, but to just reach out and have a conversation. I think we as Samaritans are so aware of the importance of those small conversations, those gestures of support. So if you are concerned for someone, I'd really encourage you to talk to them. Just see how they're doing. And one of it, we have a sort of set of listening tips that we often offer people. And some of the most powerful bits of that is to talk less about yourself and just to try and understand the other person. So asking the question, how are you? And then allowing the space and time for the person to respond. And sometimes, you know what, they don't tell you straight away, or they're not ready to talk, and that's okay too. I think just being available, reaching out and giving people the space so that they can respond and being ready to listen to them entirely, those are really powerful things that any one of us can do.
And maybe if that doesn't work the first time, not giving up and going back and keeping the conversations open as far as you can. And I was particularly struck by the great campaign you had. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, at the train stations, just starting up quite a banal conversation with someone that looked as if they were in a difficult or worrying state, or as if they were having some issues. And that was incredibly powerful. I think there was just a little video showing people talking about the weather. But, maybe breaking the pattern for somebody.
Exactly. And I think that's completely right, Vicky, that the idea of breaking the pattern, I think we called it Small Talk Saves Lives, and it particularly part of our partnership with Network Rail. But it was the idea that, I think the idea of how's the weather, or it's cold out here, all those lovely things that we all say that we might think are, as you said, banal or unimportant, if they're offered genuinely to someone who might be very distressed, it can be a powerful interrupting mechanism that stops and makes them connect with you for a moment. And that can be really important. And so many of us can do that. So it's a great thing to encourage.
Yeah, and I'm sure we've all found during recent times that just the smallest thing can really change your mood and brighten up your day and make quite a difference. So just reaching out to somebody that you haven't heard from for a while can have such an impact, can't it?
Yes.
And so many people lead isolated lives. And of course, more people are leading isolated lives than ever through necessity. Is loneliness something that's come up a lot?
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, it's always something that I know people can find distressing. We've definitely observed that our calls do mention loneliness and isolation as being something of concern to people, particularly during the pandemic. And I think it's that same need to connect and to be understood that's at the heart of so much of what people are craving and wanting.
So again, you're particularly important with that, because some people find it very hard to find somebody to talk to. So in that way, I imagine you have lots of regular callers and people that really rely on your service.
Yes, I mean, I think it's probably important to say when you call us, we treat each call as a sort of unique moment in time. So, and I think that's sometimes a real comfort to callers to know that we don't know who you are. We don't know what you were thinking 5 minutes before, what you will do after the call. But for that moment in time, we can be there for you. And so, yes, I think some people probably do find our service of regular help. And we hope also that people who've never called us might think to call us and might think, I'll give it a go.
So obviously you've been doing an amazing job during this period. It must have been difficult for you as well as it has been for all of us. And I wondered how you looked after your own mental health and well-being.
Yes, I think, you know, I'd be the first to say it's been a very intense year, hasn't it? I think there's all sorts of things. I know so many organizations have been talking about the concept of self-care, and in fact our website mentions some of that as well. For me personally, I think I'm happy to confess I find that YouTube cooking videos really float my boat.
Any particularly good recipes you've been trying?
Well, I know this will make people smile, but I thought I'd be honest and say that I really enjoy there's a whole range of cooking videos that are about particularly Korean and Japanese cuisine.
Wow.
Where there's lots of calm chopping of vegetables and stirring of stews, and I find that quite therapeutic. I know it might not be the conventional answer, but I actually do find that sort of thing really sort of relaxing. I think a lot of people have turned to sort of videos and content online as a way to sort of relax.
Definitely, whether it's Netflix box sets or recipes or dance classes, kitchen disco.
Exactly.
There's something to suit everybody, hopefully, out there, isn't there?
Yes.
But cooking and recipes that I think take a longer time are probably particularly mindful and helpful. Anything else? Have you managed to get out when we can? Anywhere particularly nice in Kingston that you like to go to spend time?
I think there's so much. We're so spoilt in our borough, aren't we? I mean, I like any bit that has sight of the river, and those are really lovely walks. But I actually really also like, probably less so while we've been sort of conscious about social distancing, but some of our busy streets, like bits of Tolworth, bits of New Malden, I think we're spoilt for sort of restaurants and communities and all of that buzz.
Interesting shops.
Yeah, exactly. I'm conscious it's in the time of coronavirus, so I don't want to recommend that people are doing that. But normally, those are the bits of Kingston I find really exciting. I love the diversity of our borough. I get a lot of sort of strength from that. I like that.
Yeah, that's a great answer, and it's a different answer than I've had before, and it's much more of a kind of urban buzz answer.
Yes,
which I like the sound of.
I have to confess, I do have that side to me. I love the river, but I do like the urban side of Kingston as well.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to come along today. It's been great to speak to you, Mona. And, you know, once again, a huge thanks on behalf of us all for doing such a fantastic and really valuable job during this time.
It was really flattering to be asked, and nice to talk to you again. Thank you.
I was speaking there to Mona Sahar, Director of the Kingston Samaritans. Before we go, do check out the other chats in this series. You can find them wherever you usually download your podcasts. And we'd be grateful if you subscribed and left a review too to help spread the word. I'm Vicky Bourne of Minding Kingston. And until the next time, take good care.